I am Plant on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. The world-renowned Isha joins me now, a writer and spiritual teacher of international acclaim. She joins me now to discuss her new book, Why Walk When You Can Fly? Soar Beyond Your Fears and Love Yourself and Others Unconditionally. It describes the Isha system, which helps us overcome the fears and doubts leading to profound inner transformation. Everyone from prisoners to former soldiers to troubled youth and jet setters have subscribed to Isha's teachings. She's a sought-after speaker who's originally from Australia, who's now based in Uruguay. Isha joins me this day from here in Vancouver. The book, published by New World Library, retails for $14.95. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Isha. Good morning, Isha.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
I was reading part of your bio, and it said that at the age of 28, you'd suffered some losses in your life. What were they?
Well, it was quite remarkable, really. I lost everything, but literally everything. I had a very successful sort of career, and I was selling real estate, like my real estate, and I had everything organized, and there was an enormous financial crash in Australia, and I lost my money, my property. And then people started dying. My boyfriend died from cancer, my father died. My grandmother, who was like my mother, even my dog died. It was like everyone I looked at started dying. So I went through a period in my life where I was left with absolutely nothing. And I realized that I thought that I was those things, like my father's daughter, the girlfriend, all of those things. And then I realized with nothing, I didn't know who I was.
Do you find that it takes something like that, something catastrophic or something tragic, before we start realizing? I mean, how long for you was it before you started going on a different path, that you weren't someone else's whatever, that you were yourself?
You know, I teach literally thousands of people my system, and no, it doesn't take something catastrophic. Lots of my students are very young, and lots of them are just normal people that have not had anything really major happening in their lives. But yes, a lot as well. I mean, often sickness, a terminal illness, a loss in the family, there can be something that provokes us to want to change, but it doesn't have to be like that. And the consciousness level is rising so fast that people are becoming aware that the things we do don't work anymore, because we keep doing the same things, but there's still this discontent, there's still this place of self-doubt, there's still this hope that in a future moment we're going to find absolute happiness. But we get to that future moment, and then we create another future moment, you know, more money, bigger car, whatever, you know, maybe when we retire even. But peace, joy, love of self is something we have to find in each moment through expanding internal consciousness. And it's interesting, you know, because young people are starting to see that, and they're seeing it very quickly. They're not going through all the dramas and the suffering that maybe a lot of the more mature people have gone through.
So the Isha system has four facets,
and that's right.
And the first one that you touched on was embracing the present moment.
Sure, the four facets are for expansion of love consciousness, and love is an energy that's within us. We think it's a behavior or something external. People don't actually know what love is, and when we start focusing on this energy by using the facets, it starts to expand, and we start to find this internal place of profound peace and joy that we can walk around with in our busy daily lives. And from that space, we start to let go of our destructive habits, the things that stop us from being in joy, like our addictions and our sufferings. And we have the courage, because of this this internal security, to start being real, to start being truthful, to take off our social masks, to stop compromising, which always leads to resentment. And when we start loving ourselves, the outside starts to mirror that to us.
Well, why do you think we keep ourselves from being happy?
You know, it's an experience. We don't do it, like if we look at it rationally, it's like if, for example, I'll use an extreme example. If a woman was in a marriage and the husband used to beat her once a week, for example, it wouldn't make sense to stay there. But because on some level people don't think they deserve love, they keep repeating things that lead them back to suffering, because we associate love we're suffering to a point, and we're very addicted to suffering. And we swear that we're not, but we have so many addictions. And all of those addictions, as a consequence, lead to suffering. But it's such a habitual thing, and we're taught to do it. We're taught to lie, we're taught to manipulate and control, and we stuff so much of our emotions, and we have so much pain inside and fear of not being approved of that we're not even conscious of it. It's just something that we accumulate throughout our lives. And we can have great masks. We can look very successful and powerful. But inside, there's always something that's creating something external that is stopping us from being happy. And it's the human condition, basically. But when we start to see that, the duality, and we can make a new choice. And the thing I love about the book or about the system is it's a recipe for what I did to experience absolute freedom. You know, I wake up happy every day now. I'm at home everywhere. My life's extraordinarily hectic, but I'm not looking. Whereas before, I doubted myself. You know, nothing I achieved was ever good enough because I wasn't good enough for me.
In terms of the investments to get to where you are, that one must do, does it take a lot of time? Does it take a lot of effort?
You know, the system's very fast, and you start to experience changes immediately. This is what I wanted all my life. I did many, many, many things, and this expanded internal consciousness very rapidly, because when we start focusing on the love instead of what we think's wrong, it starts to expand. And the nature of energy is to vibrate on a higher frequency, so to expand love moves very fast. And it's also, it's like discovering unknown territory. Most people don't know themselves. We think we do. We have an idea. But then as we start to expand internal consciousness, we start to discover ourselves. And it's really, it's a joy, you know. It's a wonderful thing to get to know yourself, to be happy with yourself, to have a romance with yourself. So it's a fast process, but it's also a process that can, it's not like a suffering path. It's a path of self-discovery, and it's a wonderful experience.
One of the other facets is accepting what is without judgment. Would you explain that?
Well, you know, it's about embracing our humanity. We have all these ideas of how we should be, and the way we are is, a lot of it's based in fear and protection. It's because, I always use the example of an eagle's egg. Like, the egg has a shell, and the shell's protecting something that's not mature. So we have lots of masks, we have lots of fears, we have egos and all of these things that hide a multitude of what we perceive as sins, because we don't embrace ourselves exactly as we are. But once we start to embrace ourselves exactly as we are, and to see our humanity and to stop judging it, we start to see through it. And when we start to expand love and start to see through that, the shell starts to fall away, and we step into our glory, like we learn to fly. But the shell's just protecting something that's not mature. So I always say, in order to be divine, whatever that is, you have to be willing to be human, and you have to embrace your humanity.
The idea of loving oneself more, wouldn't that be construed as egotistical?
You know, it's the exact opposite. It's so funny, because we have the most bizarre concepts. It's like everything works in the opposite. The laws of the universe work opposite to the intellectual boundaries of duality. When you start loving yourself unconditionally, you can give love. When you don't, you're always taking love. We manipulate, we control. It's like we have contracts. You know, and we try to give unconditionally, but then we become resented because we need something in return. But when we love ourselves unconditionally, we can just give love, because the nature of consciousness is to give love, but we have to find it within ourselves. And then we stop projecting the fears onto the children and demanding from our partners all the time because we feel insecure and they're not loving us enough. Because once you love yourself, you don't need all that, like, that constant reassurance externally. So it's the opposite. I think to give, one has to be able to love themselves.
Now, you live in Uruguay?
Well, I live in an aeroplane, but yes, I have. I have a big international center in Uruguay, and I have many centers throughout South America and Mexico. So I'm constantly traveling. The principal center of my foundation is in Uruguay, and it's also the home of the teachers I've trained that teach my system, and where all the a lot of the students come from all around the world to do more intensive programs of going inwards and expanding internal consciousness.
Now, I mentioned in the intro that you've taken your message to various people throughout the world, prisoners, soldiers, people that are well off, people that are not well off. Mm-hmm. What do you think it is about your message that they seek?
You know, it's simple, and it basically tells them, you know, you're okay. It doesn't matter what you've done. It's about the choices you're making now, and you are the love, and you can start choosing for the love. There's no belief system, so it's not in conflict with any religion. As you can imagine, in Latin America, it's very Catholic. And people start to feel the changes. You know, they start to have an experience of love consciousness, and they find security within themselves. It's amazing. I teach massive groups of prisoners. Like, I'll go into a high-security prison in Argentina or in Mexico, and there'll be 1,000 men in the room, and they'll start practicing the system, and these men will cry. I mean, it really touches them, and they start to realize that the freedom is an internal thing. And so they start healing all of the resentments and the violence and everything that's internal, and when they go out into the world, what they create outside is completely different, instead of that constant vicious circle of the same thing over and over.
And for you as a teacher, is it gratifying that people are latching onto this message, that they're subscribing to it?
You know, for me, I'm like a kid with a secret, you know, because I'm a normal woman, but I found what I was looking for, so I just can't tell enough people quick enough. I've never thought I'd release the system in a book, and I have for the English-speaking public. I still teach in large groups in South America, but I've just released it in English. And the people are practicing it, and the book's just come out, but it goes directly in. Like, it takes you into yourself. It's not about something external coming and blessing you or whatever we think's meant to happen. It's just something very concrete, something very real, that gives you an internal security so that you can change and you can be the person that you dream of being.
Is there a burden being a spiritual leader? That you mean you have all these centers throughout the world? Is there a burden on you personally that you feel?
No, quite the opposite. I think I'm the luckiest woman on the planet.
How is the system congruent to modern life? Because it seems that we don't have time, and living in the present moment seems a bit time consuming.
Funny. You know, it's funny because when we expand internal consciousness, I'm so busy. Like, I would have a job like a top executive, I would imagine. Like, I'm running here, running there,
Managing
a million things. And that's another thing I always say to people. This is a spiritual system for modern people with busy lives. And it's a very simple thing to do, and it's enjoyable. Like, it doesn't take a lot of concentration. You do it for 1 hour a day with your eyes closed, but you could do, you know, 20 minutes in the office. You can do it in the bus, you can do it in the park, you can do it anywhere. And when you start to experience this internal consciousness, you find that everything you start to create much more easily. Like, everything's not such a struggle because you're very clear. You're very clear about what you want. Whereas often humans, the intellect's always jumping. Oh, well, this would be nice. Oh, but maybe it wouldn't be. And we send out all these conflicting messages all over the place. So it's very hard to create what we want in our lives. But once we start to experience this internal peace, we find that we're very present, we listen to people, we're real with people, and we're like vulnerable and connected, instead of, you know, you're having a conversation with someone and you're somewhere completely different and they're just talking to themselves.
This idea of being real with people, you know, we try to be genuine, but I guess it doesn't work, because I guess that's inherent in the idea that we're fearful, isn't it?
You know, sure, but we have this idea that if we speak the truth, that people won't love us, that if we say exactly what we feel, even from a place of love, that they'll get offended and they'll pull away. But the thing is that when we don't speak the truth, especially in our close relationships, we become resented and we start pushing each other away anyway. So when you start to speak the truth and both people or to everyone, you start being real, what happens is the opposite. The love starts to grow. You know, I have lots of couples with problems that come to my centers, and they start exposing themselves, and they leave like with the it renewed, because everyone's lying, everyone's got masks, everyone's pretending, and on some level, you know, I know I make it sound awfully extreme, but on some level we're all doing it. And then when we start really saying what we want and we really are listening to each other, we start to develop this flow of love one to the other instead of these masks and separation.
In the book, did you discuss addiction?
Sure.
And then how does one overcome addictions?
Well, the system's great for that because it takes you inwards and it heals. It heals the root stresses that cause addiction. You know, the addiction's not the problem. It's what's causing the addiction. And ultimately, it's always a place of where we don't think we deserve love, that we think there's something wrong with us. And it's often a place where we have so much pain we can't be with ourselves. So we go out and get drunk so that we don't have to be with ourselves, to quieten the mind. I mean, I know I used to do that. I used to be very shy and insecure, and I used to get drunk to socialize. And that was a fear of not being approved of. And all people have addictions because they're not complete within themselves, they're not comfortable being with themselves. And when you start to expand this internal place of love, it starts to become important. It's like that becomes your new addiction. Oh, I want that love. I want to nurture myself. I want to give myself the best instead of, oh, I want that rush of that addiction, or, you know, I want to do something external. But it always leaves us feeling empty. So we start to nurture things that are good for us instead of things that ultimately lead us to suffering.
And how much time during the year do you spend traveling? How much of the year are you away from home?
Well, you know, it varies dramatically. Last year I was in Uruguay quite a bit, but normally I'm at home probably 2 months of the year, going back and forth. I go back, I do what I call mega intensives, and I have students that come from all over the world. The students go there all the time because I have many teachers there teaching and supporting people, but when I go home, we get the big groups to come in. And so I'm always there for that. And I'm actually opening another big center in Mexico now. It's opening in March since I released the book in America and Canada. And it also came out in Japan. So I needed to build a center in the north for the people from this area. So I don't know. I'm at home in my own heart, you know. It's not about a location or a building. I feel at home all the time. I never miss something.
And when you travel, like on you're in Vancouver this day, where's the next stop?
Tomorrow morning I fly to LA. I do. I've got a conference in the Bodhi Tree, and then I come straight back to Seattle again.
And do, taking your message to North America as opposed to where you live in South America, is there a difference in what people seek or what people take away from it?
You know, I've been doing a lot of media. I did one conference. And the thing is with English-speaking people is that we're very intellectual, whereas Latin people are much more emotional. But I found that I was talking, and when you talk about love, when you talk about consciousness, people do go into their hearts and they do start to feel, because there's that memory of when we were children, when life wasn't complicated, when we did have that internal peace and joy, and we have that memory. So I think the most difficult thing is that for people is to think, oh yeah, this sounds like something else I've done before, because the intellect tends to do that, like it discards everything. Oh yeah, I've heard all that before. But people need to know that until you've got it, you haven't heard it. Until it's your experience, you haven't heard it. And that's a trick of the mind to be dismissing things. Because if you're not absolutely in freedom, if you're not absolutely experiencing love and joy all the time, you haven't got it yet. And everyone can have that. It's not something weird. It's something very concrete.
Isha, continued safe travels and much good luck with this book.
May I... this radio... Oh, no, it's not coming out now. Okay. All right, then. Thank you very, very much. I'm very grateful, and I hope it gets to lots of people.
Thank you very much. The book is called Why Walk When You Can Fly, Soar Beyond Your Fears and Love Yourself and Others Unconditionally. It's a useful and interesting book. $14.95 is the cost from New World Library. Isha.com is the website. For the commentary, I'm Joseph Fonta.